Greetings, humans.
Dave's not here, man.
No, man, it's Dave.
So.
Yeah.
Welcome to the score report.
I like ducks.
Oh, ducks are cool.
Ducks are cool.
But the giant duck.
Yeah, I like the giant duck.
I want that fucker. I want to put it in the lake, and I'm just going to sit there all day long and just watch him.
Oh, and you're going to masturbate too?
Probably not. I don't know. You know, the giant inflatable rubber ducks don't do it for me in that way.
Those little ones that get stuck.
Oh, God.
Alan just got it.
Oh, shit.
It's been a real crappy week.
Yeah, it has.
And I just got some really good news. And by really good news, I mean I'm probably going to jail.
Oh.
Yeah, the mainstream media is going to be at SHOT Show.
Oh.
Yeah. So look for me to be arrested.
Like out in force? Look at all the evil guns.
Oh, of course. Of course, they're going to be looking to ambush people to get that, you know, the Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel.
Yeah, but those people aren't at SHOT Show. Do they not know that?
No, but the mainstream media doesn't know that. They just hear guns and they automatically go, oh, cousin humping rednecks. So. Yeah.
So you're going to be open carrying, Jay?
They don't understand that SHOT is an industrial trade show where they have the media there already.
It's business.
Right.
You're going to run into a lot of business people.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Jay, you're gonna be open carrying and have the horseshoe mustache and maybe a camo shirt on. That way you're
beta man. Chaps.
And then suddenly they'll be like, oh fuck, this one's got a master's degree.
you ought to yokel yourself up real good so they'll hunt you down and
definitely wear that shit kicker hat you were wearing the other day.
I wear my hat.
Hey, Brita.
Hey. My family made it. Skype let
Yay.
Me in.
Yay, Skype. Finally.
Much rejoicing.
Yeesh.
Skype is the gatekeeper.
Apparently, I just joined GChat as well.
What?
GChat.
Oh, I thought you said tree chat.
Yes, tree chat. Tree chat.
Yes.
I want to totally join a tree chat. And I totally want that giant duck shed. Oh, my God.
What?
My life would
I see it. Oh, my gosh.
Not be complete without that. I don't think I can survive any longer without it. All right, everybody chip in some money.
Oh, my God.
Buy me the shed if you want me to survive.
Is it a house or just a...
It looks like a shed.
It's Weird's Quiet Place.
And it's got like a...
If you look real close, there's like a bulkhead behind. So yeah. You come out of the duck's ass.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. It looks like some of those storm door things for the basement.
I can put a bunker underneath it.
Yes.
It's the emergency exit. Quick.
Weird. In underneath the duck, you've got to have feet hanging down from the ceiling.
Yes. Oh my God.
Oh, motorized, so they're kicking.
Yes.
That was always playing around in the lake. My family's got some property on. That was my favorite thing to do, is dive down to the bottom. Swim around on my back and watch the ducks.
Oh yeah, because they're all like calm and like graceful above the water, and their feet are just churning like crazy underneath.
And what's even better is if you come up underneath them, they shit their pants.
Yeah, they think you're a snapping turtle.
This makes a lot more sense now.
Snapping turtles need pat pats too.
No, they don't. Snapping turtles need a 22 bullet through the head.
And then, Pat-Pat's first, then 22 bullets in your head. And then you eat them.
Can you eat snapping turtles? Well, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, tasty. Ask Kelly.
Anything that'll go on a
blender. I don't want to talk about eating turtles. We don't talk about that on this show.
We're talking about snapping turtles. Yeah. You have a tortoise.
Snapping turtles are evil.
It's different.
You have a tortoise, and it's a small tortoise. Kelly's eating the great big fucking Cajun turtles.
What do you do with Cajun turtles? Like, you make stew or something?
There's a lot of meat on them.
They make turtles. I mean,
you can make stew out of them, or you can, you know, cut the meat off in chunks and, you know, cook up little chunky yummies.
Turtle steaks.
Fry them up. don't know if you can make a steak out of them. Their meat isn't really all kind of like, they don't really have like a backstrap or anything.
Oh. Turtle chili.
Oh my God, I totally want turtle jerky.
Turtle jerky. Oh, I don't, that doesn't sound good.
Brita's making the sad face.
Yeah.
Brita, again, turtles are not tortoises.
It just makes me uncomfortable.
Myra is not aquatic.
That's true.
No, she's not.
Well, unless she's in her water dish, and then she's aquatic. Yeah.
Well, no, she's not even aquatic, Daddy. If you throw her into a swimming pool, she will not be happy.
No, she would not swim.
Now, meanwhile, a turtle, if you throw it into a swimming pool, they are happy.
Well, except for the
chlorine. And then a sea turtle, if you put them on land, they're unhappy.
Yeah.
I'm waking her up tomorrow. She's been sleeping for the past, like, 3 days.
Mm-mm-mm.
Do you have a heat lamp on her?
I do.
Yeah,
and a UV lamp, which she totally ignores. But she's doing, this is the first year I've really, like, you know, stuck with the UV lamp and the heat lamp. And she has been awake and eating throughout the winter so far. Yep. So, you know.
Every once in a while on the Myra cam, you can see her perk up and look around.
Yeah, she perks up, looks around, takes a bath, eats some worms, walks around.
Goes back to sleep for a day.
My turtle never hibernated because he always had his light and his heater going on.
Oh, well, she has it on. She just chooses to ignore it.
Hey, if you can sleep, why not, you know?
She likes to dig in that stuff that I got her, so.
Stuff?
It's coconut husks. It's like ground up coconut husks, and it holds moisture, so it like stays nice and humid in her tank, and she just loves to dig in there and sleep.
Well, she's a good baby, and we love her very much.
She is. She's good.
And she needs pat pats.
Yeah, she gets them, but she doesn't like them.
All right.
Just like the pat pats? My turtle always used to stick his head out, and he'd let me scratch him on the top of his head.
No. Mm-mm.
You just need to train her right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think Myra is that trainable.
Turtles are indeed trainable. You can teach her to run through mazes. It just takes a lot longer. Because when they say reptile brain, they ain't fucking kidding.
No. I mean, it's like, it's cool to know that, to kind of pay attention to what the things that she does know. You know, she knows, you know, when I'm there, and she knows that I give the food, and she knows what the food container looks like, and she knows when, you know, I miss down her bedding, and, you know, it's kind of cool, like, the stuff she does kind of react to, I don't know. Anyway. And she loves the color orange. She sees orange.
So she's a Protestant turtle?
I guess. I don't know. She loves orange. We had to stop her from eating cheese one time because it was, like, orange. And I was like, I had to explain to her, no, you don't eat cheese. You're a turtle.
I bet that was an interesting conversation.
Well, I had to keep on pulling her back from the cheese. And she was like, no, I must have the cheese. It's orange. And she kept pushing at me. And I'm like, nope. No cheese.
One thing I've learned about turtles is they're very determined.
They are.
Once they get something in their brain, they do not relinquish it.
Nope. Yeah. Anyway, so Myra chat.
Yay. Let's get started.
Okay.
Hey. It's Thursday, January 12th. Thursday, January 12th, 2013. Is it 10th? Yeah, sorry.
10th.
January 10th.
January 10th.
2013. It's February 17th, 1862. Are you ready?
Time traveler.
Are you ready for a civil war?
No.
Yeah.
Because you may get one.
Well, to be fair, if we do end up descending into a new civil war, at least it won't last long.
Weird's loading up all of his most in the gaunts as we speak.
Nah, don't worry. I got plenty of stripper clips. It'll only take me a few seconds when the ball drops.
You got all your bayonets attached, right?
Yeah. Plus the real, real fucking old ones. I don't know if I really trust them all the way.
That's where you load them and you hand them to your opposition. Here, try this.
Yeah, they probably work just fine. I'm just worried that I might damage the stocks further. Some of them got splits in and stuff.
Ah. Duct tape. I mean, rather than duct tape.
Some of them are older, over 100 years old, so.
Yeah, that makes them curios and relics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Hey, we have a birthday coming up with one of our listeners. Longtime listener, Gus Avocado, is having his birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Gus. Oh. He's happy called birthday. A number of times on our show, so thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Happy birthday, Gus.
Happy birthday.
Make sure you throw up for your birthday.
Is that a rule?
Yeah.
It is for Gus.
Throw up the same number of years. No way.
I did not know that rule. Mm-mm. I've been breaking it, so.
Well, you know what, Alan?
Rebel.
You just hold your liquor too much.
He does not. One drink and Alan's asleep. He's a lightweight.
Well, that's why you got to have three lined up and hit him hard and fast.
So you, like, yeah.
So you can go, oh, I'm starting to feel it. Oh, I want to go to sleep. Oh, I'm awake again. Glort.
Oh, no. No. Oh. That'd be bad.
What's even better is if he's dopey enough from it, he probably won't have the stamina to get out of the way.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, we've all been there.
Yeah, it makes me queasy just thinking about it. So anyway, yes. We already have two people lined up to talk.
Oh my God, we haven't even announced a topic yet.
I know.
Yet.
I want to introduce at least the call-in topic before I start taking callers. Because damn, people. The call-in topic tonight is, and I can't remember who thought this up. It was Jay or Weird or somebody.
I think it was Jay.
But I'll
take credit for it.
What is your favorite? Oh, and by the way, I want to point out that Jay did the announcement post in the blog today.
Why, thank you.
And
it was a great, great blog post.
Longest one yet.
Yeah. Is that any surprise, really?
Do you know how hard it was for me not to close with that as all?
I bet.
Brown Menace has got a gift for the gab.
Yep. So anyway, our call-in topic, among all the other topics that you'll probably want to call in and talk about, right? Right. What is your favorite/most hated gun grabber saying? You know, like, nobody needs an assault weapon to hunt. Or
can we extend? I think gun grabber is kind of like too narrow.
Okay.
Category. I think maybe gun ignorant people.
Yeah. You're yeah, well,
the unenlightened. How's that? The unenlightened.
Though to be fair, gun grabber. Originally, it was a term I did not like to use.
Uh huh.
And now I use it very, very freely because they're pretty much open about the fact that we're actually going to come take your guns.
Yeah, the myth of we don't want your guns has been pretty much blown out of the water because
even if some lesser bullshit law gets floated through,
it's just
they've already been open enough to say nope, that is their intent. Just like the Brady campaign tries to say that we're not about banning handguns, we're just about assault weapons. And you're like, well, except for look at your IP address. It's still under your original group name, which is Handgun Control International.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
So, yeah, gun grabbers they are. But, yeah, ignorance things. Let's just go around and share ours.
You go first, Weird.
I will go first. This is a tough one because there's a gazillion of them. But I'll go with my personal favorite saw, which is gun death.
No, yeah.
Gun death. I mean,
that's one that I've taken a personal vendetta against because I really dislike it because it's one of those situations of last year, New York City. Now, this is without taking into account the fact that the police have been openly cooking the books, and it's been pretty well documented that the crime numbers coming out of New York are not legitimate in any way, shape, or form. But let's just pretend they aren't a bunch of goddamn liars.
The ones they'll admit to.
Right.
Yeah. And just say the crime numbers is in last year in New York, Their gun death rate was the lowest in years. It was, they had a drop in gun death rate, but they had a rise in murders. So just meant that the stabbers were doing overtime, and
they got extra stabby.
When the people use the metric of gun death, they are essentially saying that they're essentially implying that you're safer off, except for or that if stabbings go up, but gun deaths go down, we're somehow better off.
Yep. Or the favorite of the police procedural, the blunt force trauma.
All right, who's next?
Jay.
Me?
Yes.
It was your topic, Jay.
I think nobody needs an AR-15 to hunt, because it rolls two competing schools of idiocy into one. A, that you don't know that. Actually, three, because no, some people, you don't hunt big game with an AR because it's not a powerful enough round.
Right.
B, yes, you can hunt small game with an AR, or you can use one of the many larger calibers and you can hunt deer just fine.
Yeah.
And three, goddammit, as Weird says, George Washington didn't cross the Delaware to get to his duck blind. The Second Amendment has dick all to do about hunting. Shut up.
And four, what does need have to do with it?
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Need.
Also, I mean, I did a post this morning where I was talking about lawn darts. Three kids died, and that was all it took to ban lawn darts.
I miss lawn darts, damn it.
I agree,
they were awesome.
I agree. I miss lawn darts as well. But, you know, the ban went through, and, you know.
Well, it was the same with the buckyballs. I mean, what, one or two kids ate them and got their small intestines perforated, and now all of a sudden, you know,
the company's out of business. Small intestines, yep. You ruin it for everybody.
But I think in the modern day that Darwin really has a hard time. And you need things like lawn darts and buckyballs.
Yes, because you don't have bears and wolves.
Right, because otherwise, you know, how are you going to weed out the weak ones and the stupid ones?
And we don't have bears and wolves because we have ARs and 450 SOCOM.
There you go.
Damn it.
But it's really kind of an end goal that they're going for, because it's one of those with lawn darts and buckyballs. Yeah, you can ban them for only a couple of deaths or injuries, because you know buckyballs are just curios that you know knickknacks that you put on your desk,
right?
And lawn darts are a game that you play in your backyard. And so one death is far too many for just, hey, let's have a good time. You know, if somebody died playing Monopoly, they'd be talking about playing Monopoly. Hell, they tried to ban Dungeons and Dragons because of somebody who wasn't playing Dungeons and Dragons, allegedly may have played Dungeons and Dragons before they killed somebody. But the bottom line is, but we don't talk about banning cars, because we're not using cars because they're fun. We're using cars to get to work. We're using cars to, you know, to transport goods. We're using cars for, you know, to better our day-to-day lives. And that's exactly why we have guns. And so, therefore, yeah, some people are going to die, but more people are going to live. It's about self-defense. More lives are saved because of guns than are killed. And therefore, fuck you.
I would be even more militant, and I would say, so what if they killed more people than they saved?
There's that too. I mean, that's kind of my I agree with that sentiment, but also like my gnashing of the teeth with the TSA. Yeah, you can go straight forward and say they're a direct violation of the Fourth Amendment. Just get rid of them. But it's an even bigger target to point out that. Fourth Amendment be damned. They're costing us, you know, billions of dollars and not doing jack shit.
They're expensive and useless.
Yeah. So, you know, even if you don't believe in the Fourth Amendment, you shouldn't believe in the TSA. And even if you don't believe in the Second Amendment, you should agree that guns are doing more good than harm.
Yep.
We can always fall back on the Second Amendment, but, you know, let's face it. The people who are talking about banning guns don't give a shit about the Second Amendment, or don't understand the Second Amendment, or don't want to understand the Second Amendment.
Yeah, and your other arguments won't matter to them either.
That's true.
you're not going to convince those people to change their minds.
Well, I'll actually disagree with that. You won't convince most people because most people aren't like me or like Brita, where, you know, we were anti-gun mostly because we were misinformed.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the, you know, the Dianne Feinstein and the, you know, the Schumer and the, you know, those people. They are, you know, they don't give a shit about guns one way or the other. They just don't want us to have them.
Right. Yep.
Because they'll always have their bodyguards, and who cares? Hell, they'll always have their shotguns if they want them.
$2,000 over-unders.
Right.
There's a blog, Daddy Bear's Den, and he said something really, it has stuck with me all week, and gun control is about control. Gun rights is about rights. It's not about the gun.
Right.
And I just thought that was a brilliant assessment. I thought, yeah, you know, gun control is not really about guns, because even the most hardcore anti-gunner person will, if you press them, they will admit you can't stop criminals from getting guns.
Nope.
Guns will exist. Guns, people can make their own guns. You know, look at Great Britain.
Right.
You know.
Yep. Or hell, just put the guns on top of the cocaine when you ship it in.
Right. You know.
It's not like we're growing coca plants here.
Yeah.
And
we sure have a bunch of blow.
You know, to take it to the drug, the drug metaphor, you know, when you know, okay, for instance.
Is that one of those old-timey drugs, Alan, metaphor?
Yeah, it is. In Prohibition, when alcohol was, you know, made illegal, you didn't go to the speakeasy and buy beer. You went to the speakeasy and buy the hardest, most potent alcohol that you could find, because if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna ship illegal booze, you might as well make it as potent as possible. And the drug, you know, the drugs are the same thing. You know, it's, you know, look at the ones that are the most expensive and the ones that people kill. You know, not too many people kill each other over pot. You know, they're killing each other over cocaine and heroin and, you know, stuff like that. If they could, you know, wave a magic wand and make guns illegal, what do you think is going to happen to the guns that are available to the criminal element? You know, they're not going to be a .38 special revolver. They're going to be a full auto something or other, because it's easier to make a machine gun in your basement than it is to make a semi-auto or select fire or revolver. The hard part's getting it to stop after every trigger pull, not just keep going.
Oh yeah, the first auto loading firearm, the first firearm that would eject a spent casing and then reload itself was the Maxim machine gun. It's far easier to make a full auto gun than it is to make it.
The sear disconnect was a harder thing to design, and actually it's harder to make than the full auto. Anyway, let's move on, because we got callers. Brita, what's your favorite?
Gun grabber. My favorite or least favorite.
Your most.
And it's
hated.
Not even really a saying. It's the projection. They think that they can't be trusted with guns, so no one else can be trusted with guns. It makes me crazy. Like, you know, I remember before I started carrying a gun or owning a gun or shooting, people were like, oh, Brita, you've got such a temper. You can't carry a gun. Oh, you know, you'll just go
Brita
crazy.
Brita doesn't have a temper. She lies.
Are you kidding me?
I certainly
well,
am.
Well, I have to say that after becoming a gun owner and carrying a gun, my temper has become a lot better. I've never really, well, after my childhood, I got trained out of my temper by my father. He used to kind of bait me and then say, hey, look, you've got a temper. You need to learn how to control that. So, you know, it was kind of like this game, like dad would bait me and point out, like, anyway. So, but people would say, oh, no, Brita, you know, oh, that time of the month, you'll just go crazy and shoot people. Or, you know, it's like this weird kind of projection people have, like, they think they are so emotionally reactive to situations they can't be trusted with a gun that no one else can.
But of course, it's all hypothetical because, again, yeah, I mean, I, you know, I was the
it's
same
totally
way.
Hypothetical.
I never had much of a temper. I've still gotten into like some serious screaming matches with my wife with a loaded 45 on me, and oddly enough. It's just the, God damn it, you're just being stupid about this thing. I never thought, hey, I want to plug you one.
No, exactly. That's exactly it. I mean, it's like I've never made the leap from, holy shit, I'm totally angry, and the guy in front of me in line in the grocery store is pissing me off, and oh my God, he's an asshole, and blah, 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 blah. You know, I can be like raging into my head, but I never make the leap to, I want to shoot his ass and get him out of my way. I think it's because that people who do carry guns and are responsible, law-abiding gun owners, we do kind of follow through with the thought of, if I shoot him, then what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have the then what.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the other...
And there's the whole reality versus fantasy thing.
Right. Right.
It's one of those people talking
exactly.
about, oh, you know, I do this and I do that, and oh, you know... You hear people talking about like, you know, oh, I'm signing up for the Marine Corps because I want to go over there and kill people. And,
what?
You know, then suddenly they realize, oh, wait, they're actually giving me a rifle. And they're actually shipping me overseas. I'm, you know, not all that excited about this shit anymore.
Yeah, it's not all that fun.
Hey, yeah. Let's take a caller.
Okay.
You know who we got
hey.
Up?
No.
Roadkill. Hello, Roadkill.
Hi, Roadkill.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Well, you know, as well as we can all be expected to be. You know, being angsty and, you know, occasionally being, oh, everything's going to be okay. Oh, everything's going to go to hell. You know, every single day, you know.
Hey, you know something? Roadkill sounds an awful lot like Sean Connery.
Stop.
So what? Anyway. What's your favorite gun grabber, or your most hated one?
My currently most hated one is one that I find so ironic and so hypocritical that it's beyond stupid. Right now, they're very fond of saying, "Oh, the NRA is going to kill babies." And, oh, gun owners are killing babies.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, having guns are killing babies. And I remember the first time I had someone say something like that to me was when I was in high school. I had to make a presidential speech on certain issues. And one of the issues I had to come up with on there was abortion. And I said that while I didn't like it, I supported someone's right to choose. And one of the girls in class, who was about 16 or so, who had a baby, was like, "You're killing babies!" And I'm like, okay. And with that same comment always comes up with the pro-life people being screamed at liberals. And I'm like, wait a second. That's the same thing they do to you, that. And now you're doing it to us. Fuck you. Fuck you. With a giant syphilitic.
Okay.
My wife is screaming at me not to say things.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Roadkill.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he hung up.
Oh, I know.
Keep going.
Mrs. Right. Roadkill has power.
Who made the Roadkill hang up? Oh, no. Oh, well. We'll take another caller.
Okay.
It's MDev.
Yay!
Hey, hello. Well, first of all, before I share my favorite thing, I want to apologize to all of you. I just had to officially cancel my trip to SHOT Show, and I got a more pressing thing popping up. So.
That sucks.
I was hoping to meet a couple.
I was counting on you to bail me out of jail, damn it.
Oh, no, that still exists, because now I've got, you know, the funded hotel. So I'll consider that the Jay Dale money.
Yeah, Jay, you wouldn't want MDev to bail you out of jail if he was at SHOT Show, because he'd be the one sitting beside you going, Jay, that was fucking awesome.
Well, not only that, I'm going to demand some of this T&E stuff. You know, I'm going to say, well, hey, let's not forget who your free state equivalent is.
It's the guy from Tactical Tupperware. Come on.
Exactly. Do you know how much shit I would get if I walked up to, you know, any of the tactical boys? Yes, I own tacticalsupport.com. Send me shit.
You'd have the Glock guys driving a truck up to your house.
Pack it up, boys.
All right, so MDev, what is your favorite / most hated gun grabber say? Anti-gun person saying?
I gotta say, the one that I really thought, because I thought the pro gunners made it up to just poke fun until I literally heard it on Hannity last week, is bullet clip. not making fun, not confusing magazine and clip and whatever, but literally calling it and the exact quote was a multiple bullet clip. And I'm done with bullet clips.
Three, maybe, or
yeah.
How do you clip onto the bullet? Do you go through the cannelure or what?
You have to weld a carabiner to it.
Bullet clip. Well, it's you know, it's the latest in hair accessories, right? Bullet clip.
Well, you know, it was funny because the same guest within about 30 seconds said, nobody needs a multiple bullet clip, and then said, I don't want to ban your 9mm. So I forgot about all those bolt action 9mm, you know.
Oh, shit.
Because that's what we all have.
To be fair, if you've got a 9mm broom handle, that thing does take multiple bullet clips.
Right.
That's you have to attach the bullets to cartridges first, but...
Someday,
that's definitely my favorite one, only because I thought we made that up, you know.
Sadly, no.
Yeah.
Another one that gets me is on the same line is I'm hearing this a lot, and I just don't believe it. I mean, at least the clip magazine interjection, I mean, we're well past that. That's kind of like a World War II thing where, you know, one soldier would have a M1 Garand that would take clips, and he'd be issued a bunch of clips, and another soldier would have an M1 carbine or an M1 Thompson, and those things would both take magazines. I could see where the terms could get interchanged because essentially you're using them the same way. But when you get something like high capacity ammunition, huh? What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm not even sure what that is. High capacity ammunition.
That is simply someone carrying up a flag that says, I don't know which.
Would that be like a 50? Is a 50 BMG high capacity ammunition?
Yeah, because you can fit a shitload of 22s.
Yeah, see?
There you go.
Hell, you could use a 50. You could use a 50 BMG for a flask. You know, put some screw threads on that sucker, you know, you're done.
Oh, someone needs to fucking make that.
if you threaded a 50 BMG casing, you could make a suppressor out of it.
Ooh. There you go. 20mm, too. Hey, actually, I guess MDev hung up.
Oh.
What is it with people hanging up?
Everybody's hanging up on us tonight. What the heck?
I don't know.
You're making room for all of the other callers.
Well,
that's
we do have other callers.
214-530-0036.
We have other callers.
Cool.
And this is area code 901. Hello.
Hi, it's Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hey.
It's Bonnie again.
We don't get the weekly Bonnie update like we do get the MDev update. So don't say again.
Okay, I won't. I'll try not to be so disparaging against myself with that.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I had another reason I wanted to call in, and it was actually directly related to the topic, but it relates to my favorite anti-gun attitude. It's not really a saying, it's an attitude. It's the attitude that, it's the only one's attitude, that, you know, regular citizens shouldn't have guns, but it's okay for the cops to do it because the cops can take care of everything for us.
Yeah.
And it's related to the you know, the thing that Biden held today, and you know, and the president signing that order about, you know, reinstating the lifetime Secret Service thing, but nobody else can have guns, but he can have a human shield around him.
I was just thinking, you know, about that today. You know, we have these, you know, almost every gun law makes an exception for cops. You know, cops can go everywhere carrying their guns. They can go almost no place a cop can't go while they're carrying a gun, except maybe inside a jail. And yet, cops as a whole are far more likely to be breaking the law and criminals than concealed carry holders.
And it is because of that only one's attitude. When you get to a point where you do have more power, power does corrupt.
Sure.
There are very rare cases where it doesn't, but it's human nature. It is the way our brains work. When we are in power, we don't want anybody else to step on that power, and so we do what we can to make sure that power stays in our hands. Teachers do it when they talk down to their classes. It can be as simple as that. You know, abusive parents have that tendency just way more so than the average person. And people who don't like guns, it's like there's this cognitive dissonance between, you know, what guns actually do and what it takes to be a responsible gun owner versus a cop who passed a training seminar. That doesn't make you a good person because you passed training. It means that the government has given you permission to do stuff. That's all that means. And that sort of attitude, that only one's attitude, is the most irritating thing to me. And we're seeing it more and more often. And I believe I said this on Brita's post about, you know, Obama signing the order for the long-term lifetime, I guess, security detail. It's like they want a civil war. It's like they're preparing for it. And I hate to sound like an alarmist. I feel like, you know, that saying stuff like that makes me sound crazy, and I don't want to sound any crazier than I already do. But that's a very divisive thing to do. And it shows that he's scared of something.
I don't think they see it that way.
I think it's all going according to plan. I've been saying that for a while. I think it's all going according to plan.
Somebody had posited that they trying to get somebody to do something.
It could be
trying to push somebody.
Yeah,
they want
some yokel to haul off and start blasting away at somebody and creating a thing.
Another crisis.
Right.
They've been doing this forever. I mean, it's the same, you know, same thing goes back to when CSGV was doing all the publishing people's personal data on their Twitter and Facebook page. It was the whole thing of the number one, they knew that gun owners weren't super duper dangerous because, you know, it's not like you see a shark.
Otherwise they wouldn't do it.
You see a shark fin and you immediately reach, you know, decide to go for a swim, you know, but they did want somebody to try to take a shot at somebody or to arm up and get caught with a car full of guns and ammo, or, you know, who knows what the hell they were there. But they wanted some sort of reaction. They wanted something. They had vilified us, and they knew that really wasn't holding any water. So they wanted to provoke us enough to get us to do exactly what they wanted.
And if you think about it, that is correct. And if you think about it, all the way back in, you know, 2006, 2007, you know, during both passive and active campaigning for the presidency, why did we have an ammo shortage as soon as Obama was elected? Because people knew what his gun policies were. They knew. And so people are acting like this is a surprise.
I know.
That's going on. And I'm like, were you not paying attention? Dude, I was like a newly, I guess, christened Gunny back, you know, back then, and I was paying attention. And I was, like, vehemently anti-guns before all that stuff went down in my past. And so I don't know. I don't understand all of a sudden Obama's being ridiculous and we must act. No, this has been going on. This has been happening.
Oh, and he's been doing that to everybody, though. I mean, that's like all the Obama voters. They're like, hey, how come my paycheck's less this
week?
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Why am I making less money? Oh.
I'm not one of them crazy rich people.
How come my insurance is going up? Hey.
Yeah, exactly. Because you voted for it, stupid.
Yeah.
No such thing as a free lunch.
Oh, it's going to be even better once Obamacare gets in there.
Oh, God.
Oh, now I can go see my primary care physician for free.
Yeah.
Except I don't have a primary care physician because mine just retired, and
good luck finding a new one.
Because he realized that he can make no money on the golf course just as easily as he could looking up people's butts.
Yep.
But there is a young doctor down the street who's still got to practice. Unfortunately, his waiting list is 6 years.
Yikes!
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I bet he doesn't take Medicare patients either.
You know, I keep on thinking about people in the medical profession. I mean, it's like, it's basically the government has enslaved them. Sorry, you spent all those years in college and then medical school and et cetera, et cetera. But now the government's going to tell you how much you're allowed to make.
You know, it's funny.
You know, it's very sad. And I can see now. You know, a lot of doctors just retiring or saying fuck it or whatever.
Or going into elective surgery.
And I'm really interested, when will the black market medical stuff start happening?
It already is.
Is it?
Yeah.
How many people are going to South America for like,
absolutely
tummy tucks?
Oh, yeah,
people are going there's medical vacation. Medical travel agencies that'll hook you up with doctors in third world countries that'll do the procedure for a fraction of the cost in the U.S. You just have to fly there and get it done. Of course, you know.
There was a reason I got my leg in 2012.
Well, it's funny because
Obamacare being a 2x4 and a saw.
What branch of medicine consistently gets better and cheaper?
Plastic surgery.
Elective surgery. Plastic surgery gets cheaper all the time and better all the time. Eye surgery, better all the time, cheaper all the time. When I got mine, it was $1,000 an eye plus, you know, like $1,500 just for all the other bullshit. And now you can get, I think you can get them for like less than $500 easy.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, but goddamn it, minoxidil's still expensive.
There's a weight loss clinic in which is another type of elective, you know, thing that people do, and they prescribe medications for weight loss. They prescribe phenermine, and they prescribe, because phenermine is an upper, they also prescribe Ambien so that you can sleep at night while you're not eating anything. And they refuse to take insurance. They have a flat rate that you pay to go in. It's $30 for the appointment. It's like, you know, $10 for the Ambien and like $25 for the phenermine. And I worked with a lot of women who use that they would use it for months and months on end, and they will not accept insurance because they don't want to be looked at too closely. And this guy, the guy who runs it, I know him, he's a libertarian, and he's like, I don't want them telling me how I can, you know, use my medical degree. If people want this and I'm providing a service, you know, it's whatever. And at the time, I was like, well, that's a little weird. And now that I think about it, I'm thinking, you know what? I have a feeling a lot of those types of clinics with unofficial names.
There are several surgery centers that are cash only. That they don't take insurance. They don't do anything like that. But they're dirt cheap. And they're, you know, fully licensed, you know, you got everything, you know, except they don't take insurance. They don't take people that can't pay, like hospitals, you know, the reason you pay, you know, $80 for an aspirin at a hospital is because they got to cover all the people that don't pay that they got to see also. But these private surgery centers where you can go in and get something done, you know, pay cash and be done with it. It's actually cheaper than even having insurance. And see, that's the thing that pissed me off about this Obamacare and the insurance mandate. You know, you have to have insurance now, and it's expensive as hell. You can't get it is impossible in the United States to get a high deductible catastrophic care insurance policy. You know, you can't get it. They don't exist anymore.
Yep, that's true. Because I tried.
Which,
and also,
you know,
also you got to remember that medical procedures that traditionally deal with the patients are using their insurance. It's essentially like the window stickers on a car lot or any other or the price on a gun on a forum listing. Those are things that are expected to haggle, and it's the same way as
right. The insurance company comes back.
The doctor's going to quote to the insurance company a price that's way higher than what he's actually willing to give that service up for, because he knows for a fact the insurance company's not going to fucking, you know, immediately go, oh, you wanted $100 for that procedure where it's a legitimately $100 procedure. You know, instead he's going to say it's a $200 procedure, so maybe they'll say $125,
right,
or maybe they'll say $90, because the insurance companies are going to come back.
Plus, they got to cover, you know, the person that stumbled in and has no insurance and money or anything else.
Well, they also have to cover the person. It's not like the doctor's got time to be dealing with this bullshit. So he's gonna have a secretary to be on the phone with the insurance company, going, no, seriously, we need this much money for this procedure.
Why a lot of doctors are going to no insurance, or were, because dealing with insurance companies is expensive.
Yeah.
Back
when I was working with a commercial fishing
industry. That was a long deviation.
Yeah, it was. Hey, we got more callers, Bonnie, so thanks for calling.
No problem. You had a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Bonnie.
And we have area code 513, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hey. Hey, I think that would be me. That would be Jeff from Southwest Ohio. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, one of my most hated phrases that always comes up, and I think Joe Biden said it like 5,000 times this week, is if it'll just save one life.
Oh, God. I hate that one. Yeah.
And then
when
you point out, that in the past week or so, I can point out at least 26 incidents where somebody used a firearm to save, their own life or somebody else's. Like that lady in Georgia that shot that dude 5 times, in the 38. Including one time in the face. So I don't know if you guys got a chance to listen to that 911 call where her husband was basically coaching her to do the same thing. It's kind of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He's like, shoot him again, shoot him again, shoot him again. So, the dude ended up, she ran out of bullets. So that's the whole, why do you need more than six shots? She hit him 5 times out of 6, which, had she been a police officer, would have won her the marksmanship shooting award of the year. I think they have about a 1/3 death ratio. And the dude still managed to drive his car, get his car and drive away and collapse after blood loss. But at this point, I think it's this irreconcilable differences. Once you start trying to use facts and logic, the other side sticks their fingers in their ears and starts going la 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 la. When you point out that, even by, conservative standards, the Department of Justice, estimates somewhere that 105,000, defensive gun use happens every year, 98% of those, without, shot being fired, people are just like, that doesn't matter. Because you're morally more superior if you let somebody shoot you than if you try to defend yourself at all.
Yeah, but it's funny. All those people that are preaching the, if it just saves one life, are always willing to let somebody else die for their moral thing, not themselves.
Of course.
Yeah, I actually heard that there's a lady, and I don't know what show it was on, but somewhere down here in Cincinnati, I'm looking at the Indiana channels, and right after the Sandy Hook thing happened, you know, this guy.
What in the world like, oh, are you doing?
That's my dog shaking his head.
Oh.
Oh, you're like a can of spray.
Yeah, it does sound like
this headset is pretty, the mic on it's pretty sensitive, so. But,
thought you were sounds like you're getting ready to Duracoat an AR.
Yeah, really. She's like, I'm a mom. I want somebody in the school to protect my kids. And you know, she had a teacher call in, and he's like, the day that, you know, that they put armed guards in schools or let other teachers carry in schools, you know, I'm going to quit. And she starts walking him through that, you know, well, why? And he's like, well, I think it sends a bad message. And she's like, I don't care what you think. It's my kid. I want to protect it. And he's like, well, you know, if you have people walking around in school with firearms, whether they're police officers or not, you know, it teaches kids or it gives them the impression that violence solves problems. And she's like, hell yeah, it solves the problem. And if he's busting the door and he's trying to shoot the kids, I mean, that's where you want it to solve the problem. And finally, he just said, you know, look, you know, the fact of the matter is that it's worth it to occasionally have mass shootings where people are shot. And there's no armed response present there because that is the better moral, you know, high ground. And she's just like, you know, I can't wait for you to stop being a teacher. but I wanted to kind of, you know, remind you guys today. I see that the president is going for what he knows to do best, which is the whole divide and conquer. So he had the sportsman's groups there today, which include Pheasants Unlimited or Ducks Unlimited and Pheasants Forever. Like, what the hell do they have to do with, you know, gun violence? I can't imagine there's somebody going around shooting people with their over and unders, pheasant hunters. So I think he's pursuing the whole divide and conquer.
Oh, sure.
Had the retailers, had the retailers today, which are Dick's, Cabela's, Bass Pro Shops, and Walmart. And I sent a letter to all three of them today and said, my advice to you is stay the hell out of it. You know, you do not want to get into this, and whatever promises they're making to you around, oh, well, if we end private, you know, sales, and everybody will go to Walmart to buy firearms. You know, if you compromise in any way on this, we are just going to burn the heart out of you on this. You know, I will do everything I can. I mean, I'm pretty active with Buckeye Firearms. You know, I occasionally write for them, behind them for concealed carry. You know, I'm a member of the NRA. I belong to one of the Premier Rifle Clubs here in Ohio, Miami Rifle and Pistol. And I told him, I said, I will tell every single person that I come in contact with that you guys did this. And you guys have made a ton of money off of gun owners, especially AR-15 owners. And if you don't think we'll bury you on this, we will. So just stay the hell out of it. It's between, you know, private citizens and the government. And you do not even want to open that can of whoop ass.
Well, you know, the funny thing is the trying to get the big retailers on board for something like that is the funny thing is the big retailers are not interested in transfers. You know, they only want to sell new guns. So dangling out this whole, you know, ending private sales, everything will have to go through a gun dealer, is pointless for those because they're not going to do it anyway. You're not going to go. Walmart's not going to let you come in and do a transfer from, you know, from somebody, some third party, you know,
right.
The Dick's, if they still sell guns next year, they're, you know, the same thing, you know, all these big chains that sell guns are not going to be doing, transfers.
Well, and that's what I think, you know, more than likely what they're going to get is not related to firearms at all. It's like, you know, we're going to carve out some special exemptions for you for Obamacare and all this other shit. So, you know, they're going to try to make some deals. And, like I put up on my Facebook page, you know, a picture of Obama smoking dope, you know, when he was in high school. I'm like, you know, believes that branding the private sales of firearms, you know, will stop criminals from getting guns. And I'm like, oh, smoked a lot of dope in high school. Coincidence, I think not.
Right.
And all they're going to do is drive it underground.
Yep.
I mean, almost every single person that I know that owns a firearm owns at least two or more that's off book. That's never been purchased. You know, it's a face-to-face sale.
Yep.
And they did that on purpose. You know,
lost all their guns in a boating accident.
That's right.
So can't agree.
Yeah.
Mine fell overboard accidentally. Yeah. Damn it.
Well, it's going to be the law of unintended consequences, too. I mean, I already told the wife, I said, you know, my stuff is, you know, I have what I have, and if they want to come look at what I've got, you know, what they're going to see, you know, assuming that they knock nicely and don't shoot my dogs when they come through the door,
good
is they're
going to
see, you know, that I, yeah, they're going to see that I've purchased, you know, a M1 Garand from Camp Perry and a 45. And you think gun deaths, you know, are bad now? I mean, if I had to choose between getting shot with something, I'd much rather be shot with a .223 than a .30-06.
Yeah.
So, and from what I can see, you know, the list is probably gun fans, some of the guys, and not. So, I mean, all you're doing is you're forcing those people who are either going to give up their firearms to purchase, you know, what an all intents and purposes are larger, which is, you know, like I said, it's the law of unintended consequences. Be careful what you wish for.
Yep. Hey, you're breaking up pretty good there, Jeff. Let's we got some more people, so thanks for calling in, and we're glad you listened.
Sure. Right. Off here, and then you guys can.
All right. Bye.
Good.
Thanks for calling, Jeff.
Must have got into a bad spot in the cell or something.
Go pat the crap out of that dog. He needs it.
Yeah.
I think he just went too far deep into his bathroom.
That was funny. We just got endless callers here. It's like
awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, keep coming.
Area code 214-530-0036. Well, I'll just keep going through here. This one's area code 360, Olympia, Washington.
That would be me, and I'm still not in Olympia. I'm still in Hawaii.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Brad. You're the only person I know in Hawaii, so.
Well, I'll let you know, it's a balmy 84 degrees out there today. My friend
Go to hell.
Told me he was in a blizzard and he hated me, so.
Yeah, I was leaving work, and I asked my coworker as she was coming in, I said, how is it outside? She's like, oh, it's warmish. And I looked at the temperature, and it was like 43.
It is warm.
That's pretty warm.
That is warm for this time of
That's
year.
That's what Alan was complaining about being cold.
That is cold.
Cute. Was. Alan is a hothouse flower.
When it's under 50, I wear a coat.
Yeah, cute.
Yeah, you and me both.
Brita, if it's over freezing, it's like shorts and t-shirt weather.
Hell yeah.
Hey, yeah. Sun shining? Okay. Put on some shorts.
So what's your thing you hate the most?
My biggest thing I hate from the gun banning people is pretty much anything Piers Morgan has to say.
Yeah.
Especially his stupid UK gun death statistic, which is bullshit, you know?
Yep.
They only count it as a gun death if they actually have convicted somebody of the crime. You know, if we did that, we'd have no gun deaths either.
Right.
Not in Massachusetts.
Well, yeah, a lot of foreign countries pay, you know, and New York City play fast and loose with the statistics. You know, it's not only gun deaths; it's, you know, it's infant deaths, and, you know, there's all kinds of games they play with them.
Like in Germany, an infant's not born alive until it's 72 hours,
right?
Which is how they have next to zero infant mortality rate. It's not just doctors,
right?
You know, they all play with their damn stats.
Yep, they lie. But,
you know, hearing that smarmy, I've got fired from a tabloid for publishing too fake of a fake story about the British military. So I'll come to America to make money, then complain about the way America is.
Yeah.
You know what? We have airplanes. They fly east. I've been on them. They stop at Heathrow. You can get off there.
They don't want him back.
No, there's a great liquor store called Wonderful World of Whiskey. They have like 1,000 types of whiskey.
Yeah. What's his name from the shit.
Alex Jones?
Yeah, I'm drawing a complete blank. The car show. The British car show. You know, the one.
Top Gear.
Oh!
The guy that punched him out. I was like, no, we don't want him back.
Yeah, I followed him on Twitter. It was funny because he's like, look, it took us 40 years to get rid of him. Don't send him back now.
Yeah. Send him to some other fucked up country. Oh, all right. Well, thanks for calling. We got people stacked up here. It's going to be crazy.
No problem. Talk to you guys later.
Enjoy your tropical paradise.
Oh, I will.
Thanks for calling, Bradley.
Oh, man. Man, what is that, Brita? Is that your mic making all that noise again?
Maybe.
It's her husband.
It's the Skype.
In the vicinity of the mic.
No, it's upstairs.
It's got to be the Skype, because when you talk on the phone, it doesn't sound like that at all. It's got to be.
Should I hang up?
No, it's all right. We can deal with it.
I'll hang up.
It's all right. If you hung up, Jason Kerr would be very upset with you. Because he's on the phone right now.
Oh.
No way.
Howdy, everybody. How are y'all?
It's Jason.
Hi, Jason.
We're going to meet that dude in like 4 months.
Jason, are you going to be there?
Yes.
I plan to be. I'm so excited. Oh, my God.
It's fun times.
Good.
Yes, and I look forward to seeing RoboLeg, too.
I'm totally wearing a mini skirt.
Woohoo!
I'll be in my bunk.
An extra 20,000 people just signed up for the NRA convention.
Yeah.
We don't need Biden. We have Brita.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. Change the topic. Go ahead. Hi, Jason. How are you?
I don't know. I'm kind of liking this miniskirt thing.
No, let's not talk about
it. You could actually get all of the Squirrel Reporting skirts. That's the beauty of the
show. Oh, I will wear a kilt to the NRA convention.
Wait a minute. Weird does not have a kilt.
I do not.
No. So 3/4 of the Squirrel Report anyway.
I have a dress though.
This is not an insurmountable problem.
Whatever works.
Stunning little black number. He wore it Saturday night.
Oh no, it's fuchsia.
Fuchsia.
I'm this is not weird making shit up. This is weird speaking truth.
Well, you know, that does go good with your complexion.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't go good with my chest hair either.
Wow, Alan snort.
Oh,
boy. So, Jason, what's your favorite?
I think Jason probably called in for a reason.
Yeah, what's your...
out that one is. Okay.
All right, actually, I have two. The first one I have to thank William Batterman Rigger for. It's the phrase, no one needs a pistol smaller than a canned ham, which if he were alive today, he would realize his company does because they sell the snot out of them.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's true.
After he died, but yep. Yep.
You mean, of course, the Ruger P3AT.
And the Ruger LCR and the Ruger LC9 and the SR-22 and just about everything else.
And the LCP.
LCP.
Oh, yeah.
And the Super Blackhawk.
Which I love.
Alaskan. Yes, very true.
Yeah, that's funny because they cannot make enough of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is it? They said the major gun companies are about, 2 years behind just in orders in order to make up stock now. And, hey, all those guns are going somewhere, and I don't think Obama's going to find them all.
You know, that's the thing with this. They're talking about, what they're talking about really will lead to kind of like a national gun registry. I think that's their end goal, really. How will they achieve that? Are they going to come to my house and say how many guns you have and I can tell you
exactly how they'll do it.
Okay.
They'll say cuz they've done it in other states.
Okay.
This is nothing new. What they do is they say you got to register your guns by this date. So basically you fill out a form or anything after that's a felony.
And how will they know?
Because they'll catch you with it sooner or later.
Oh,
that's what they rely on. This is part of the whole everybody's a criminal thing.
No, how will they catch you with it?
If they happen to do it, if somebody steals it from your house, they catch them. They go, where'd you get this gun? And they rat you out. You know, they catch you in the car. I mean, there's all, you know, that what they'll do is there's what they've done in other states. This is like, you know, they've done it in Michigan. They've done it in not Michigan. They've done it in Illinois. They've done it in New Jersey. They've done it in Massachusetts where they require you to register. You go, you have to fill out the paperwork. You put in the serial number, what it is, you fill it out, you send it in. And from then on, whatever the cutoff date is from then on, if they find you with a unregistered gun, it's felony. If they choose to, you know, prosecute it.
Right.
And
it's something else they can hold over you.
Exactly.
If they need to.
Okay.
Yeah. Folks have gotten in trouble in Massachusetts when they've had to call like emergency services. You know, somebody's having chest pains.
Right.
And they call 911. The EMTs show up and there's.
Put Grandpa out on the lawn.
Yeah.
I've read stories of people who've been charged because they had a home fire, and so the fire inspector has to go and investigate, and they go in and they see a bunch of guns sitting around, and they call the cops and say, "Hey, cops, have a look at this."
Well, yeah.
Well, this is where jury nullification becomes very important.
It doesn't get to jury nullification, though. It's before it even gets to trial. They use it as a thing to generate a plea bargain and make you plead guilty because they're going to sit there and go, look, you had this gun and this gun and this gun that weren't registered, and that's 50 years in the big house, or you can plead to something lesser and you get, 2 years in prison that's how that works. It doesn't, they don't give you a
year.
Yeah. They don't give you a chance to get in front of a jury. They loaded up with the downside being so high that nobody in their right mind would take a risk on it.
Well, I think there are going to be enough people who do take that risk. I mean, like I said, look at Canada. They had registration in pretty well, and most of the nation said hell no, and it got to where it was too expensive for them to enforce.
That's true.
And we may have to go through that here.
But, our liberals are sitting here going, stupid Canadians, we can do it better.
Yeah. Or it hasn't worked there because the right people weren't in charge.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, all I have to say is the book Enemies, Foreign and Domestic – should probably be considered less fiction and more of a book of tactics.
It actually is turning out to be amazingly prescient, isn't it?
I'd vote for unintended consequences.
So.
Yeah, well, unintended consequences is a little too gunny, fairy tale-ish.
Yeah, but it's a book you can bludgeon someone to death with if you need to.
Yeah, it's true. All right. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. We have more callers, Alan?
Yeah, we do.
Awesome.
Oh. And I forget which one of these was first, so I'll just take the top one.
Oh. Okay.
This is area code 830 from Fredericksburg, Texas. Hmm. Hello. Hi.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Wonderful. This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Sitting on the chat right now.
Hey, let me.
I thought you were going to say sitting on the throne.
Let me digress just a little bit before you get started on what you called in about, because you are in Fredericksburg, right?
I don't live in Fredericksburg now. Grew up there.
Okay, so this is what I tell Brita. Brita is very. Has this idea that Texas lacks ethnic diversity.
Hey, they got both kinds.
And I keep telling her there are whole cities in Texas that are founded by Germans, and there's all kinds of good,
Oh, absolutely. We've got good German food there. My family owns a general store on Main Street, and up until in my lifetime, 15, 16 years ago, we still had, the old ladies that worked up at the cash register would gossip to each other in German back and forth. So, yeah, we've got lots of German communities. Just west of Fredericksburg, there's a town, little village called Loyal Valley that got its name because a lot of the German settlers out there refused to go along with the Confederacy during the Civil War. So, yeah, lots of good ethnic, slightly different ethnic culture out there.
Cool. All right, so anyway, about why you called in.
All right. I was thinking about this a little bit earlier. I still love the notion that we need to license guns like we license cars. Because the people that say that have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah. Well,
there's a lot of that just generally, don't you think?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, that's, if they're on, in my opinion, if they're on that side of the subject, then, yeah, they're pretty far gone to begin with. But
yeah.
But that whole thought that, you know, people deal with car licenses and with everything like that every day. That's something that they ought to be able to relate to and to think that, well, let's see, I do this, you know, every day. I got my driver's license when I was 16 years old. I can drive in every state in the union. I can drive any car that I can afford to buy. But they still see that as a big victory when, sure, yeah, let's do it. Let's license cars like license guns like we license cars. I'm all for it.
What goes hand in hand with that one is this teddy bear has more regulations on it than a gun.
Yeah,
right. Really?
Yeah, that's just, I mean, the regulate guns like we do cars is just, they just didn't think it through. The teddy bear thing, they're just fucking lying.
Yep. Yeah, out lying.
I don't know.
I remember somebody saying that they talked about the number of product recalls they have for various things and said that guns never, ever, ever have a recall.
Oh, really? Talk to Ruger about that.
Talk to Ruger with her. Their guns come with a box and a return and death label.
you get a whole envelope full of return labels.
Well, all I know is my gun's supposed to have a lot of lead in it, so they might be looking at something a bit different there.
Well, you know, the EPA, every once in a while, the EPA floats a thing where they try to regulate bullets because of lead content or some bullshit, and they always get shot down, so far.
Well, it's because they keep trying to float these bizarre bullshit things that, like, somehow say that, the berm that you're shooting in at your local gun club or various things are causing lead to leach into the groundwater, and they've got no evidence at all. Pretty much, those lead bullets, they pretty much stay right there.
Yeah, yeah. Hence
the reason why every gun club on Earth pretty much can replenish their berm for free by just telling the company that replenishes the berm that they can keep whatever they find.
Yep.
Well, we could all start shooting steel core ammo, but they don't like that either.
Well, that's the root of it is that the laws are written. I mean, California simultaneously floated two laws that essentially outlawed ammunition. One was saying you can't have lead ammo because it'll kill the condors, but also you can't have any ammunition made out of not lead because it'll punch through a ballistic vest.
Right.
Even though it wouldn't punch through a ballistic vest, but that's all right.
I gotta tell you, them condors make some tasty omelets. That's all I'm saying.
They taste like shit. You're hungry, eat one.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Well, sure thing. I actually had one other question.
Go ahead.
Y'all might be able to help me on this. I've currently got a concealed handgun license in Texas.
Uh-huh.
And in a couple of months or so, if everything goes well, I'm going to get a law enforcement commission in the state of Texas. So when I go from being the concealed handgun license holder to law enforcement, does that mean that I'm statistically more likely to commit a crime?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
We're going to have to give you an ankle brace.
Because power corrupts.
Ah.
Well, and also, I mean, the real reason behind that is that the longstanding tradition of the thin blue line is, I mean, Officer Harless, threatened to murder somebody, and the cops all lined up behind him.
Yep.
And you got the whole Serpico business in New York City back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a new Diallo.
Yeah, that's one of the things, even in the academy that I just went through, that they got to talking about, you know, as a negative. In the first couple of weeks, we got all of our ethics and all that crap out of the way, you know, before they started talking about actual police work. And it was kind of interesting that, you know, the, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, you know, this sort of police subculture thing is all bad and everything else. But then as we started talking about arrests and all this other stuff, you could see bits and pieces of it starting to ease back in, even in the training.
Yeah, especially since you just caught, especially since you just got through saying we got all that that ethics and all that crap at the beginning.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did that on purpose. That was it was a bit strange because I'd been, you know, I've had the concealed handgun license for 6 or 7 years before I ever thought about going through the law enforcement training, and it's strange coming from that perspective, looking at, you know, looking at the way they teach law enforcement to do things these days.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but I do know that, you know, it. I know a few really good cops. I know a few that I wouldn't trust any further than I could throw them. You know,
right? Well, I'm just wishing I could have a law dog as my FTO, but that apparently doesn't work. So,
oh well, you should be so lucky.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or Mad G.
Well, Mad G, yeah.
It surprises me that there is any crime in that man's city. Because he's just an absolute mountain.
Yeah, I trust him real far. I can't throw him too far.
Yeah.
I don't think I can pick that big sumbitch up.
Metaphor.
Yeah, but well, you know, like
working in a area where I'm not going to have to do a whole lot, I don't think. But
well, one will hope.
One will hope.
Well, thanks for calling.
Sure thing. Y'all have a good one. Right. If any of y'all are in Houston, I'll see y'all then.
Yep, we'll see you there.
Oh hell yeah!
All right, cool.
All right. Good night.
And we got more callers.
Alan, are we going to do Score Report live in Houston?
No.
Aw.
Nope. No. Damn it!
I'll be sitting in
that week. That we'll just take the week off that week because I want to have fun. I don't want to worry about.
Are you saying this isn't fun for you,
Ed? Oh,
just gonna get out of the way.
Yeah, right.
Alan, how does that shoe taste?
Huh? Yeah. I'm not. Look, you know, if it's. Okay, you think about think back to all the other think back to all the other NRA conventions, and would you rather be, you know, at the bar drinking and having fun, or would you rather
Charlotte,
be or
we
would
did
you
score or
yeah, but
vicious
we,
circle.
Yeah, but that was different. We did that in some office building lobby.
We were occupying.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
That was a different thing entirely.
14 hours home.
Yeah.
Through Amish country.
All right. So, you know, we had these other topics.
We can save them. It's not against the law to save them.
Plus, Alan, you haven't given yours yet.
That's right.
You don't get off so easy.
Actually, the ones I were going to use have already been used up by people. So,
pop out and say which one was your favorite of those.
I like my. I have several. I hate them all equally. The ones I hate the most are the ones that are like, oh yes, we need to ban assault weapons to prevent these atrocities.
Yeah,
which is so, you know, it's so stupid. You almost think they can't be that fucking stupid. They have to know it's a lie, and they have, you know, because the number of homicides by rifles of any type is so infinitesimally small. Plus these school shootings like this are so rare that the laws don't affect them. I mean, these people are going to be, these people are going to do what they're going to do no matter what law you pass. And so this hypocritical, you know, let's ban something that had nothing to do with this thing in the name of this thing.
Right.
You know, it's just, it just makes me want to just.
Have you noticed that with anti-gun people, it's like they have these anti-gun thoughts and they come so close to complete enlightenment, but they just cannot somehow, they can't quite make the leap into, hey, oh, you know, it's like, because we hear them say these anti-gun things and then kind of, you know, I can't think of an example right now, but
I'll give you one. Brita was Balder Odinson, aka Jason Kilgore of Ceasefire Oregon, was talking about armed guards and mentioning about the police policies in Central America. And, you know, completely forgetting the fact that they've got ridiculous restrictions of guns. And he mentioned, well, they've got horrible, you know, gun violence because of the drug trade.
Yeah.
But why do you think we've got gun crime here?
Exactly.
It's all the gangs. And the only reason why gangs exist is because drugs are good money.
Yeah, you take
it's the... like the, who's the guy on TV? The Schultz guy, Ed Schultz?
Yeah.
And he was
Sergeant
like...
Schultz?
Just this week, he was like, oh, well, there might as well be no gun control in Chicago because nobody's following the laws.
Gee.
And it's like they're like a hair's breadth away from complete enlightenment, but they just somehow cannot get there.
They just veer off at that last second.
Yeah, that's the cognitive dissonance.
You're right there. Come on, follow through. And they just can't. Yeah. I don't know.
It's the same reason why those you know, seriously crazy, you know, caliber wars and Glock versus 1911 battles pop up is that, you know, people get all butthurt when you say, you know, a Glock's a fine gun. I just really just don't like them. I've, you know, handled plenty of them and they're just not for me. And they get all bent out of shape about it. Why? Because they own a Glock and they've decided that their owning a Glock was the smartest move that they've ever done. And someone's saying that maybe it wasn't the smartest move for everyone. They've invested so much of their personality and their soul into that item that they can't ever concede, you know, any other point. I mean, it's the same thing. A lot of these, the hardcore anti-gun people and the activists and the people active, they know the truth. I mean, they've been at it long enough that there's no way that they don't realize, you know, oh, Chicago and D.C. have horrible gun crime rates, and they were even worse when the gun laws were even more strict, and that, you know, the violent crime rate keeps going up in England and with the restriction of that. They know all these facts, you know. They know that the Arthur Kellerman study was complete fucking bullshit, but they've invested so much of their their id is gun control. So therefore, under no circumstance, there's nothing you can tell them to change their mind, because to change their mind, it'd be like me shaving off my beard. I would cease to exist.
Well, there's also the whole liberal thing of fake but accurate. You know, they didn't just make that up for the Dan Rather thing. The fake but accurate has been a long-standing progressive.
Yeah, that may have been fake, thing. but I still believe it anyway.
Right. So it doesn't matter that all their beliefs about guns are wrong. It doesn't matter that all these statistics exist. Those simply don't matter because they are so invested in guns are bad that nothing else matters. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, it's the same logic and mentality where they say you can't own an AR-15 because that gun is designed exclusively to kill hundreds of people.
So we're going to give them to the police.
Yeah, but the cops have AR-15s and Glocks with big magazines and all of that, which are designed just to massacre lots of people. But for some strange reason, cops aren't roving death squads.
Yeah. Yeah, until they are.
You could never possibly, you know, if the Second Amendment really is about defending yourself against the government, there's no way you could possibly fight the U.S. government with armies and tanks, so give up your semi-automatic rifles. Yep. Wait a minute, huh? So we should be less able? Can we just start the whole gun-free zone thing, too, we're talking about things we hate?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Or again, the stop being so defensive. We're not coming to take your guns. We just want regulations. Uh-huh. But the moment somebody says anything about confiscation, well, they've got a good point there.
Right. Well, you know, they keep on saying, "Oh no, we're not raising your taxes. We're only raising the taxes of the rich."
Yeah. Right.
Those evil rich people.
Okay. Yeah.
And by the way, anyone who makes more than $20,000 a year is really fucking wealthy.
Well, at this point, yeah.
Well, if you're not getting money from the government, then you're paying money to the government and you're wealthy. So, hey, anyway, let's take a caller.
Yay, caller!
Area code 763. Hello.
Hi, this is Fast Richard.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Absolutely, we can.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all sorts of strange things going on in the gun world lately. Was at Cabela's a few days ago, and basically they were out of all the 308, 223, and the, you know, military equivalents. Looking pretty empty on the shelves there.
Yeah, I think everybody's having that problem. Everything's sold out.
Yep. Well, everything's sold out of everything you want. I mean, you can still find some oddball stuff that's still out there.
They're still stocked. They still had 9mm, the common things. But, you know.
Some stores don't even have that.
Nope.
Yeah, well. I think things are changing rapidly. There's still a lot of things disappearing quickly.
That's a good sign, really. Because those people stocking up, not all of those people are people that already had 5 ARs in their safe. A lot of those people are people diving in. Because, I mean, that's also one thing that we got to talk about is that, you know, specifically with the prohibition of alcohol. When we had prohibition of alcohol, you had your town drunks.
Right.
And you had your guy that would go and have a nip after working in the fields.
Yep.
But we didn't have social drinkers.
Right.
And then suddenly when people were forced to huddle in these speakeasies to secretly drink their booze, suddenly you'd get to talking. And that's actually where our modern barroom culture comes from, is from the speakeasies, is from prohibition. And the same thing with when the 94 ban went through, there really weren't that many ARs floating around.
They were
expensive, they were ugly, they were weird looking, there weren't that many Glocks.
Which is why they got banned in the first place, because not enough people had them that they were enough of a interest group to worry about.
Yeah, which is exactly why I don't have a whole lot of faith in the next ban. But yeah, but when you start throwing in prohibitions, suddenly people start It puts it on people's radars when they didn't have anything else to go on, and now all of a sudden it's become extremely popular and extremely common, and that's all because of bans.
Yep. Yeah. Before the ban, most people weren't really that interested in ARs and stuff because, you know, like you say, you they're not really that great for hunting big game. And frankly, back then they were fairly expensive, and ammo was pretty expensive. And then after the ban, all of a sudden people were like, "Hey, they banned those. I want one."
Yeah.
And so these companies started coming up with these workarounds. You know, they grind the bayonet lug off, and they pin the flash hider on so you can't take it off, and you know, stuff like that.
They're still doing that in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but and so they started cranking these things out, and even before the end of the assault weapon ban, you had way more people with evil black rifles than you had before that were totally unaffected by the ban. And you could go into any place and buy some 30-round magazines that were pre-ban with no problem. I mean, I remember going to just gun stores and seeing boxes and boxes full of, you know, surplus 30-round GI mags. You know?
Yeah, now the AR pattern has been the biggest selling firearm in the country for quite a while.
Yep.
And now with all the big bore single stack AR chamberings, you can sure as hell hunt big game with them.
Yes, yes, you can.
Well, yeah, there's all sorts of choices. No.
Yeah, that brings
anyway
up-
the gun banner slogan that always gets me is the one that Joe Huffman always does his Markley's Law things on. Oh, you must be compensated.
Oh my God! You know what? And I have to say, let me just say that I'm so sick of. And this goes for both sides, for the gun people and the anti-gun people. I'm so sick of the gun equals penis thing. I'm so sick of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've seen it from both sides. I've seen.
Oh, yeah. There was that Bushmaster ad campaign, and I'm like, oh my God. This is what happens when your gun company gets sold to a bunch of bankers.
Yep, that's
what
right.
What the hell?
They hire an advertising company that has no clue.
Yep.
Yep. Now here's your man card, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
Really?
I know a ton of women who absolutely are in love with ARs because 223 doesn't kick a whole ton. They're easy to handle. They're comfortable. They control the recoil really well.
Hell, that's why I like them.
Yeah, well, I like 3-06. So what?
Obviously, your
Brita likes
bigger than mine, Brita.
I have a right. It's just annoying at this point. I mean, especially like there has been such an increase on women gun owners. Let's just, I don't know, from both sides, it's just silly now. And I think when either side brings that up, it's like, what are you, 12? You know, can I have a discussion about guns with adults now?
Right.
You know, it's just silly.
You can, but they're all going to be pro-gun. It's not the discussion.
I know, exactly.
Side.
Exactly. But, yeah, the whole, are you compensating for what? For not, who said it best for, was it Rob Allen?
It was.
Yeah, I'm compensating for the fact that I can't throw lead, chunks
my
of
penis
lead.
Can't throw
right.
lead at 1,500 feet per second.
Right.
Right. Well, just silly.
Exactly.
It's annoying.
No, yeah, I'm compensating. I'm a goddamn scientist. I have not spent much time getting in fights and getting getting into all that. So you know what? If a fight comes to me, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be all that good at it.
Yeah.
So
right.
You know what? And you know what? I don't want to get into a fight, but if a fight comes for me, I want to go home.
Right. I'm compensating for the fact that I cannot really all that well defend myself with my bare hands.
You know, somebody mentioned the 458 Cellcom in, that was Jason in the chat. And that's going to be an interesting thing because those use the same, they usually use the standard magazines, right? The 30 round and,
yep.
And it holds like 8 of them or something like that.
Or 10.
So it's like an 8-round magazine. No, those aren't 30 round magazines. Those are 8 round.
Weird. You and I got to get Wally to stamp a whole shitload of brand new PMags 458 SOCOM.
Yeah, I wonder how that would hold up in law. I wonder if in a place like Massachusetts where we have magazine bans, if yep. owning a round of 223 and a 458 SOCOM, you know, single snap,
would it be constructive?
It's constructive possession.
Constructive possession. Well, what if you have a 458 SOCOM? What if you have it, you know, in the rifle? I mean.
As far as constructive possession, you know, I mean, constructive possession is bullshit anyway, because it's one of those. I have a hacksaw and I have a whole bunch of shotguns right here, right beside me right now. All I need to do is take 20 minutes and spit on my hands a little bit. And I've got myself a whole bunch of short barreled shotguns and a whole bunch of short barreled rifles.
Yeah. And
short
even if you
barreled,
did not own,
does that mean
That means my dick is smaller.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's metaphorically cutting off his penis.
I'm circumcising my rifles. Yes.
You know what? The thing I saw, it was a pro gun kind of side. It was showed a man holding like an LCP, and he was saying, "Clearly, I don't need to compensate for blah blah blah." You know, and it was like one of those meme poster things online, and I was like, "Really? I carry an LCP. It's just silly."
That's just penis envy.
Penis envy.
Yeah.
I carry a 45 because I'm compensating for the fact that I can't carry a 9mm with a double stack magazine in the state.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Hey. Good call.
Excellent. And that call-in number is 214-530-0036. We had 36 people last time I checked listening to us live.
Oh, I know. 36?
Yeah.
We're famous on the internet.
Well, we're famous
37?
Mm-hmm. Hey, we've got like 20 minutes left, 25 minutes. And we, at this moment, don't have any callers. So let's some of our other topics real quick. The first one off the bat is this whole executive order thing.
Ugh.
Which...
Well, why not? I mean, you know, why not?
Why? Because civil war.
Well, why not? Because, you know, this whole constitutional issue is they think it's not unconstitutional until the Supreme Court says it is. So why not? Let's go ahead and try it.
Well,
maybe it'll stick.
The downside to that is that you can't buy a 30-round PMAG right now. You can't buy 223 ammo right now.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those things of the, you know, if they get it through the House and Congress, at least they had something going on a little bit. If there has to be an end run around it, that's just a fucking mess.
I don't think they care.
I think they do. Not for the right reasons, but it's one of those. If Obama signs an executive order banning the most popular rifles and accessories in America, well, he's definitely looking damn close at getting impeached.
But he won't get convicted because the Senate won't do it.
Right.
He doesn't have a thing to worry about. He can thumb his nose at the Constitution and the U.S. because, you know, say he wrote an executive order banning semi-auto rifles. You got to turn them all in. We're confiscating them. You know, what's going to happen? Legally to him. Not a damn thing.
No.
He'll still get his pension and get his Secret Service, you know, bodyguards for life. You know, what does he care? You know, worst case, some judge somewhere puts a stay on it and eventually the Supreme Court says it's unconstitutional. But what does he care? It doesn't mean shit to him. He doesn't have to worry about getting reelected. He doesn't have, you know, and he can say, hey, you know, I stuck it to those gun owners.
At least I did something.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing. He gets to play the martyr.
Yep.
They tried to impeach me because I did something to save the children.
This is just a generally progressive, you know, talking point is we have to do something.
Yeah.
That's one of those.
We have to do something.
Have you really thought that through? I mean, I remember actually when they shut the Burlington Mall down because the guy walked through with an umbrella. I remember talking to, I had a doctor's appointment in the Leahy Clinic, which is where the guy with the umbrella worked, and so I was talking with one of the nurses in the doctor's office about it, and going, man, you know, the guy, you know, not only was it, you know, was it this huge, you know, huge, extremely expensive hoopla over a goddamn umbrella, but the guy went to work and actually had to call the cops and went, crap, that looks like me that you're showing up on the news. What do you want me to do? The guy voluntarily turned himself in, and the woman said, "Well, I guess you could have done better." And I'm like,
"Yeah."
The guy got away. Anybody could have done better.
Certainly couldn't have done worse.
Yeah, I could go find any old Joe in the parking lot, hit him in the head with a hammer for an hour, and then tell him to come up with an action report, and it would have been better than that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they got that whole and it's not just we got to do something. They trade on this false hope of something, because it's like the TSA all over again. You know, it's like, well, we have to and you hear it all the time. Well, we have to do something to stop these killings.
Yeah.
Well, number one, what you're trying to do is not going to stop killings, and it's just going to if you come up with something that will stop the killing, not just you hope will, or you know, in your fantasy world it will, but if something, you know, ironclad will stop it, then yay, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime,
is not what they want.
No, it's not what they want, and it never works. All this bullshit, you know, if you can save one child, or we have to do something to stop the senseless killing. Well, guess what? You can't.
We'll put up another piece of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's actually something that goes through. I mean, we could talk about, you know, I don't even want to get into motivation, because that's just, you know, that really doesn't do one thing or another. But let's say you've got, you know, one of these people that's not, you know, one of these heavily vested magical thinking types that wants the banned guns, but just some, you know, the average Joe on the street, right.
The soft-headed person that hadn't really thought about it much.
Yeah, who's never shot a gun, never held a gun, and frankly, you know, from everything they've seen in movies and Hollywood and on the news, thinks they're kind of scary, and so maybe banning them will be a good idea. When you look at what the pro-gun side is saying and what the anti-gun side, you know, on that angle is saying, we're saying the same thing. We want less death. You know, I don't want people killed. I don't want massacres like this.
Nope.
I want it to stop. And my solution is, you know, is, yeah, we need to loosen these restrictions. The, you know, the there's a reason why, you know, there was a reason why this shooting was in a school,
right,
and not, you know, in a public park. There's, you know, there's a reason why the guy in Colorado picked the one goddamn movie theater that had a no gun sign posted out front.
Right. That was further away than all the other ones.
Yeah,
his house.
Also, by the way, I just heard on the news that the reason why he told the cops about the booby traps in his apartment after they caught him was because, you know, he'd fucked up on that. He had rigged his apartment with all sorts of firebombs and such, and turned a stereo up really, really loud in hopes that one of his neighbors would open his door and set off trip wires and burn down his apartment, and therefore all the cops and fire department would be at his burning apartment building across town while he was shooting people.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Huh.
Yeah, that just came up in the trial. Was
interesting.
Yeah, that his whole plan with all the booby traps and firebombs and all that was to give him more lead time.
Well, that was pretty fucking stupid.
It's a good thing he was as incompetent.
Well, I mean, it's one of those. I mean, this as I was saying to my, we're talking to my wife about this. As I was saying, this guy was like the magical, like, you know, perfect combination of crazy and smart.
Yeah,
right.
Is, you know, most people that are crazy. I mean, right after this, it was a guy in Biddeford, Maine, that was driving 90 some miles an hour down the highway and swerving all over the place. When police pulled him over, he had a bunch of guns in the car, and he said to him that he was driving to the movie theater so he could go shoot it up. That's just totally fucking crazy.
Right. He's eating candy.
And then now the rest of us are smart and realize, okay, Jay, I go into a movie theater and shoot as many people as possible. What the fuck am I accomplishing with that?
Yeah.
You know, that's too smart. This guy was crazy enough that for some strange reason, you know, shooting a whole bunch of complete strangers in a movie theater made sense to him. But, you know, he was smart enough that, you know, he didn't do it in a giant chicken suit, you know, walking around and tried to do it with a, you know, a rubber dildo.
Hey, we got a caller.
Yay! Let's talk about rubber dildos.
It's Gus Avocado.
Hey, I know that dude.
Hello, folks.
Happy pre-birthday, Gus.
Well, thank you very much. I will be up past midnight, so I will just carry the good greetings on over into the next day.
All right.
Now, I have forgotten what the topic is, but fortunately for all of you, I happen to have an opinion on just about anything, so it really doesn't matter.
Awesome.
Well, you're going to have to throw up on your birthday. What's your opinion on that?
No, tomorrow night is possible. I don't know if I'll get to throwing up before midnight. Will you cut me some slack, give me a couple extra hours on Saturday?
It would still be Friday in Hawaii, so you've got until the dateline to throw up.
I got that going for me. All right. Let's see. On the original topic, I hate anybody who talks about how they grew up and their dad had a. I know what your dad had. He had a pump action Winchester Model 12 gauge. Yeah, everybody's dad had one of those. You never touched it. You were never that interested. You moved off to the big city. You went to college. You don't know a damn thing about any of it, so that is irrelevant. But anyway, that was my pet peeve.
That's true.
And as far as the executive orders, it's hard to tell what he can do. You know, I mean, he can executive orders direct the executive agency. So he can direct the ATF to be a pain in the ass. He can direct DOJ to be a pain in the ass. But for the most part, they can only be a pain in the ass if people violate existing laws, which, hey, I'm cool with that. You know what? Somebody tries to buy a gun and in the background check finds out that, he's got a bunch of felonies, have no problem pitching him back in jail. So, you know, I don't know.
Who's eating candy? Jay?
Dollar says it's what? Jay.
Jay?
Not me.
Somebody's eating candy.
I'm drinking whiskey.
Somebody's crinkling a wrapper. Damn it. Brita? Oh, it's Brita. She's silent.
She's muted. That's what it is.
Oh.
I got some crackers here. We could have a regular symphony.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think really
he can do what Bush one did the whole, not allowing imports of
sporting
non-sporting rifles. So, the president through various means can pretty much fuck with imports all he wants to. He could do executive orders to limit imports of ammunition for whatever bullshit reason. So, the bulk Russian ammo would go away. He could come up with all different reasons for limiting all other kinds of firearm imports.
Hornady's in Nebraska. Hornady's in Nebraska. That's I'd encourage people to give some thought, especially in rifle rounds. Pistol rounds, handling for pistols is just, I mean, it takes a long time because you tend to go through more ammo, especially with autoloaders. But,
right.
Right now, and that's the other thing with all these ammo taxes and everything else. Are they going to tax bullets from Hornady, Nebraska? I mean, how are they going to do that?
Can buy a bullet mold and melt down some tire weights.
Well, RCBS, which makes reloading presses and all that, their RCBS stands for Rock Chucker Bullet Swaging. And what they used to do is they would take lead wire and old .22 cases, and they made a press that would make that into bullets.
Yep.
That was some of the first, copper jacketed. And, so it's not that hard. And same with banning guns. I mean, I've got a buddy who's got a machine shop. He happens to make clutches for tractors. But you know what? I bet it's bashing a damn fine 45 frame if I got to looking at it,
Yeah, anybody with a milling machine or, hell, even a good lathe could make any kind of gun you want, just about.
Oh, I had a guy who was a gunsmith who used to read my blog, kind of disappeared a while ago. But he was saying when he went through his schoolwork to become a gunsmith, his professor taught them how to do everything they could, everything that they did with hand tools first before they moved on to the powered tools. Sure. So this guy, sure. this guy can make a submachine gun just using some, you know, some scrap metal and a hand file and some measuring and, you know, do a little heat treating. You know, it is not hard at all.
Oh yeah, you saw that guy do the shovel, the A shovel, basically turned a shovel into an AK receiver.
Yep.
Right. And there's a great article in it's a late 70s Gun Digest, and it was about the Peshmerga, the pre-Taliban Afghans fighting the Russians. And they had some old boy kind of sitting Indian style with a barrel between his feet, and he was hand rifling, you know, basically with hand tools and his bare hands. It can be done. You're never going to get rid of all of it. And the fact of the matter is, the more you ban, the more you confiscate, the more valuable the remaining ones are, and the more incentive there is for, you know, folks to get into the independent machine business. But I think first of all, if Obama was really serious about getting things done, one, you don't appoint a blue ribbon commission. I mean, the Bull Simpson, those were very, very smart people, the top of their field. Got absolutely nothing accomplished. So obviously a Blue Ribbon Commission is Washington, D.C. speaking for, let's make this go away in such a way that it looks like we really tried. And second of all, even if a Blue Ribbon Commission had one chance in a million of succeeding, if you really wanted to kill that one chance in a million, you put Joe Biden in charge of it. And that's a no-brainer.
Exactly.
I mean, that,
I was waiting for that one.
That is, yeah. That is literally and figuratively a no-brainer. So what's going to happen is he's going to raise a big stink. He's going to get the 5 millionth NRA member. He's going to get a big bunch of money come in. And there are, I've got to figure, about 6 to 10 Democratic Senate seats coming up. And you've got places like that are in real problems with gun control. You've got places like North Dakota, West Virginia, Montana. I mean, these are Democratic senators who have to run. And I think one of the greatest legacies of Obama is the first midterm, how so many state houses turned Republican. I mean, my home state went from Republican Assembly, Senate, and Governor to Democrat all the way to Republican, and then happened to be a redistricting year. And the effects of that are going to be felt for 50 years. And I think it's going to be the same thing in the second term. He's going to come out the first 2 years, do all sorts of, you know, have all sorts of grand plans that will go absolutely nowhere and will cost him, I'm guessing, 6 Senate seats, which may be enough to turn it. And you know what? As long as Scalia and Kennedy can stay alive for 2 more years, you know, he loses 6 Senate seats, and it's game on. Even if they do step in front of the bus in 3 years, so you know, because Supreme Court's really where it's at right now. I mean, we've got Heller and McDonald, and we would not have had that with another Obama appointee. So, I think where we're at right now. I mean, people are getting worried, and I'm getting concerned. I'm getting concerned because, you know, I've been kicking around buying an AR for a long time, and damn, I'm not going to get one for a couple of years now. The way the back orders are. I mean, I went to college with a guy who is, you know, one of the, you know, police and law enforcement reps for Rock River Arms. I mean, I, in theory, could stop down at the factory, see my old buddy, and sign the papers, but it ain't happening now. So that's my concern, but it's not going anywhere. I don't know. Maybe I'm overly optimistic, but I tend to think that there'll be a lot of noise. It'll elect a lot of Republicans in 2 years in what are traditionally red states and would have been red states if we'd had a stronger presidential candidate last time. And then it'll all go away. I mean, and the end result is there'll be 2 million more 30-round magazines and a whole bunch more cars in private hands. And I did this in 94. Boom, big buying boom. And along about 98, 99, 2000, I was buying stuff at gun shows pretty reasonably. And then 2004, prices went up again. I'm like, oh, you know, I'll be going to a gun show February back home. I got a couple things I want to sell because, they're not my deal. They're just something that I came across in a trade or something. But they have a 15-round magazine. So, hell, somebody will give me big money for it, you know. I think in another couple of years, this will all be a case of, very unpopular Democrats in red states. Senate control may switch over, and Obama will be a lame duck president with a whole bunch of bad ideas. And the true believers will still be tuning into MSNBC, and the rest of us will be just waiting for 2000, 16. Anyway,
well, I hope so.
Overly optimistic.
Also, on the, since you're bringing up the political side of it too, I gotta again say that all of this shit going down, and especially with like seeing like a Biden getting appointed to the head of the panel and all of that, I just kept saying, thank God we did not elect Mitt Romney.
Hell yeah.
Because Mitt Romney, I mean, it was one of those, even when Obama said, you know, oh, you know, we, you know, you know, you don't, you know, we, you know, Americans don't need AKs, when it was on the presidential ballot, Tam turned around and said, you know, and Romney started picking up, you know, the curtains.
You're cutting out, weird.
I said, just
oh, it's the whole Skype. Skype's wigging out.
You're okay?
Nope. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Gus.
Well, 11 o'clock.
That's all right. Things got too weird again, yep. Really and figuratively. So, all right, guys. I got some work to do, and I'll talk to you later.
Something weird happened with the audio.
Am I okay now?
Nah, you're both screwed up. I don't know what happened. Well, we made it to the end.
Yay.
Nah, y'all are gone. It's all, it's like robot voice or something. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, that's it. All right. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.